What's up, everybody? Wanted to let you know that we are as excited as you are about launching season 3 of the Here's the Deal podcast coming up here in January. And so with that being the case, we wanted to re-release one of our favorite episodes. This one is challenging, it's intriguing, it's heartfelt, and it's our conversation we had with Beth Heaton over the loss of her son by suicide. So we hope that you would enjoy this, that this would inform you and draw you all the more closer to Jesus as we hear Beth's story. We love you guys, and we'll see you in season 3. You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. My name is Dominic Kendall, and like always, I am joined by my friend and co-host, Luke Chris. Luke, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. Trying to get through the rest of this COVID and curfews and all that other stuff, and so yep. Kind of tired of it. Grateful for today and special gifts like this. On today's episode of the Here's the Deal podcast, we actually have a special guest with us. We have Beth Heaton. Beth Heaton is a resident of Coleman, Alabama, which if you've never been to Coleman, Alabama, you desperately need to go to Coleman. It's a great place. And Beth served at a church that I worked at previously in Coleman, and got to know her and her family really well. And so, Beth, we are so grateful for you being on the podcast with us today.
I'm excited to be here, Dominic. It's a thrill and an honor.
Yeah. And we're so grateful that you took the time on a rainy Monday morning to come join us. And so, Beth, tell us a little bit about yourself. Just tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, if it matters, I'm 53 and I live in Coleman, like you said, and I've been a wife for 28 years and I have 3 children. One's in heaven, mm-hmm. our eldest son, and then Tucker, he is 20.
Crazy, and he's
yes,
crazy.
Yes, he is. Very hyper, but we love him. We love him. And then Tess, she's 17.
The sweetest.
She is precious.
I actually have a video of me wrestling Tucker at a camp.
I thought you were going to say wrestling
Tess. Right.
No, wrestling Tucker at a camp. I have it on my phone. I found it the other day, and I whooped him. And so now I limped away from it, but I actually have a video of that on my phone.
And we've watched that a lot.
Yeah.
Jacob, and it's just funny. Yes, really funny.
Everybody laughs at me. And so he thought he could get me too. But Beth, we're so grateful for you being here. And Beth, you have a unique story. You have a powerful story. Even before we started recording, there's emotion in this. There's power in this. And this is a story of loss and pain and of joy and of grace. And so, Beth, why don't you fill us in about the story of your story and Clark David as well?
Well, I became a born-again believer about a month before I got married in 92 and started walking with the Lord. And since then, He has brought trials into my life, of course, like everyone. And this just was beyond my comprehension. But the Lord's been gracious and good. A little bit about Clark David. He was our first son. By God's grace, Clark David was our first son. And by God's grace and my husband allowing me to be able to stay at home with him, I was able to spend time teaching him and training him in the important formative years and talking much about Jesus. He was the only child for 5 years, and so God knew how precious that time was going to be for me to be able to pour into him. So at the age of 5 and a half, he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and became a born-again believer. And about a year later, the Holy Spirit prompted him. I didn't want it to be me, but I'd prayed about it and everything, but the Holy Spirit prompted him to continue following the Lord in baptism. And he loved Jesus and was excited to talk about him, and he was growing in his faith. But as I look back now in the rearview mirror of his life, about sixth grade, he started being influenced by the wrong crowd. Mm. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived, don't be misled, that bad company corrupts good habits, good character." And so he started making poor choices and compromising his faith. Now, as a mom, if I would have noticed this, I would have probably been more in fervent prayer. But even though I did pray for my children, I was not aware of, you know, the enemy and his tactics and that kind of thing. So it says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be alert, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." No doubt the devil saw Clark David as a threat, and he started his master plan of attack. John 10:10 says the thief, or the enemy, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And then it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He disguises himself. He's not dressed in a red suit with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. Yeah. He's not going to say, oh, look, here I am, you know. He's not going to reveal himself that easy. He's a master at deception, and he's only filled with lies. So he's the great deceiver, and he will lure you in. And that's what happened. If you don't think that he's real or you don't recognize his tactics, you will get caught in his foothold. Mm-hmm. And that foothold then becomes a stronghold of sin in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So if I believe God's word, it says that we live in an unseen world. But if I don't believe that, if I don't understand what scripture says and I don't believe that, then I just live in the here and now. Yeah. I'm not aware of what's happening. If we don't understand this, we're not going to be able to recognize what Satan is throwing at us, and then we're not going to be able to extinguish the fiery darts. So that's why God tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Yep. But there again, if you don't understand that, how are you going to know what to do in this life?
Yeah.
Which it reminds me of the Pilgrim's Progress movie.
Love it.
Oh, my word.
I love it.
I heard that that book is the second largest seller other than the Bible.
Yeah.
And I've never read the book, but when I came in contact with this Pilgrim's Progress, this animated movie, I've bought it. I've watched it with Tess. We just think it's so good. And she'll say, Mom, you want to watch Pilgrim's Progress? You know how that, I can't say the British accent. But I thought, you know, Lord, a tool like this in parents' hands could be so instrumental in teaching children what this world is about.
Yeah.
Because it is like, oh, this shiny stuff over here, and you do this and you do that, but it never, you're never told about the consequences of all that.
Yeah.
And what we're living in. So, but we can't give the devil all the credit. Scripture says in James 1:14 that God does not tempt us, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desires and enticed. This is one of the things that I said at Clark David's funeral. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, leave you longer than you would stay, and cost you far more than you want to pay. And I could not remember this. I'd heard this a long time ago, so I actually Googled it last night when I was kind of going over my notes, and there's a song by the Cathedrals, and so I pulled it up and listened to it actually this morning, and there's a man that gives his testimony. I'm not sure what his name is, but he talks about he was religious, went to church and all that, but it wasn't till later on in life that he got saved. He realized that he was lost. But it's so, so good. But the song is called, oh, I didn't even write the name of the song down, but something, about, oh, maybe we can do that later. But anyway, it's very, very good. So another thing that I said at his funeral is, because there was a lot of people there that needed to hear God's word and the truth. Wide is the road and narrow is the way, and there are few that find it. And so there was a lot of Clark Davis friends there. I don't know their story, but I know that they were not living, you know, for the Lord. And so I knew this hopefully could impact them and a lot of people. So that's why it's so important to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with God's word. So God gets in and then the devil gets out. Mm-hmm. We resist the devil, we draw near to God, and then God's word will guard our hearts. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So Satan was defeated, death was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. Because Jesus lives, those in Christ will one day too live, and this is our living hope. But Satan still tries to undermine what Jesus did. He seeks to destroy people because he wants to take as many people to hell with him when it's all said and done. You and I both know the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. But here on this earth, because we live in a sin-fallen world, then we have to deal with the spiritual realm. Whether we realize it or not, we're in a spiritual warfare daily. Yes, and it's only prayer that is how we fight this. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if you don't know that you're in a spiritual battle, then every day that you walk out of the door, you are not protected by that armor, and then you fall to Satan's temptations. Yes, and lures. Mm-hmm. And then the battleground's in the mind. Mm-hmm. And so Clark David, he started compromising, and that led to him becoming callous to the things of God. And I would find out later by doing research that he was depressed. He did not talk about his feelings. There was a lot of his friends later that said, oh, they didn't realize Clark, as they called him, that Clark had problems because he always helped them with their problems. And so he kind of reminded me of a Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. He like Dominic, like you, he was a joker. He loved funny, just all that stuff. And he was the life of the party. But then he had a lot going on inside. Yes, and so he was depressed, and that led to him masking his pain that we were unaware of with drugs. And so depression and drugs and suicide is just a package all on its own. Yeah. But because we have eternity set in our hearts by our Creator, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, Clark David did not want to die. Nobody that takes their life wants to die because we have eternity set in our hearts. He just wanted to escape the pain that he was in. Huh. And he had gotten to the point in his mind, there again, that renewing the mind, it was not being renewed, that he thought that there was no hope. And in a weak moment, he did the unthinkable. And I think that there's no doubt that he was harassed by the voices of the enemy, mm-hmm. Satan's static noise. I've even watched from Focus on the Family, young people who were thinking mm-hmm. of taking their life, and then when they would tell their story, this one girl said it was unbelievable what she would hear. And so when I hear things like that, I think there's no telling what he was going through. Only God and him know that. Mm-hmm. The last time that I saw Clark David was in our garage. And I'd actually not seen him for a week, but it's not because he hadn't been home. We just were missing each other. And I knew later, looking in the rearview mirror, that he was distancing himself from us. He had actually been to Wallace to take a test, and he was actually supposed to meet a special someone in his life. They were supposed to eat lunch that day. And he took the test, and he came home. We would later find out that there was 4 different narcotics in his system. So there's no doubt that the noise of Satan and the drugs, the spiritual warfare, was all progressing heavily. Mm. And to this day, I still am in contact with this girl. And she holds herself responsible. Mm. Because Clark David cried out for help, but no one heard his cry. Mm. And I've tried to talk to her even about the sovereignty of God. Mm. And it wasn't meant for her to see. And I can't see. Okay, so this day that I meet him in the garage, not really sure how to approach him. Mm. He seemed like something was wrong. And so, hindsight, I wish I would have told him that I loved him. Yeah. But now I tell my children and my husband, when I leave them, because you never know when you walk away from somebody, if you will see them again. Yeah. I know this is taught Tucker this. He is so much more compassionate now and says those kind of things. And so, like, if I leave here today, I don't know. Well, I'll see y'all again. We just don't know. And so that's taught me to number my days. But so back to, I went to walk in our neighborhood, and little did I know that that would be the last time that I would see him. But on the road that I walk, I could write a short book about that. I prayed the second or the third time. I'm not really sure because I didn't journal at that time. I prayed one of those whatever it takes prayers. Yeah. I would later hear that phrase. And yeah. I thought, oh, that's what I did. Lord, change him. Bring him home to you. Lord, change our family. Our family was not an abusive family, an uproar, anything like that. But Clark David, it was like because of the enemy, it was like he was a cancer in our home, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I would not find that out till later, God, you know, revealing this to me. And little did I know that God, that day that I cried out to him, he would start changing me. Yeah. So as I walked away from Clark David, he went to my dresser drawer. Chad had bought me a gun. So when Chad was not home, I could use it to hand. I'll never forget the day. Clark David was never ever interested in guns like Tucker.
Yeah.
And he was out there with us practicing. And Clark David, I mean, Tucker said, no, Clark David, that's a safety, you know, because Clark David or Tucker just knew so much about guns. Yeah. So I look back and I think, Lord, that day, he learned how to do that, you know? And I don't blame myself for that.
Yeah.
Because I trust in the sovereignty of the Lord with that. I was never angry at God about that or anything. But that day, he came into the bedroom. He set the alarm and went downstairs, and I feel like probably immediately. Mm-hmm. And so I would not find out till about 3 o'clock that day. And Chad actually was at home cutting wood. And he thought, well, Clark David seems to be downstairs for a long time. And he went to check on him and everything. And there's no need to go into the details of that.
Yeah.
But he was the one that found him. And I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
And I know God protected me from that, even though I wish hindsight that I would have made more of an effort, because then the next time that I saw him was at the funeral home.
Yeah.
And that was very, very hard, very hard. But because of Clark David's salvation in the Lord, I knew that he was with Jesus Christ in the presence of the Lord. And one thing that helped me was Tony Evans. You're familiar with Tony Evans.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And his wife passed away not long ago in December.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Evans, their son, did the eulogy at his mom's funeral. I listened to the whole thing. I was amazed. And if people have not heard that, they need to go hear it because it's very, very good. But he talked about how they prayed for her to be healed, but she died.
Mm.
Jonathan wrestled with God, and God spoke to him, not audibly, of course, but it's as if he heard God saying, you don't understand the nature of my victory. Just because I didn't answer your prayer your way doesn't mean that I haven't answered your prayer anyway, because victory was already given to your mom. Just because I didn't answer your way doesn't mean I didn't answer. The nature of my victory is different than yours. There was always only two answers to your prayer. Either she was going to be healed or be healed. Either she was going to live or she was going to live. Either she was going to be with family or she was going to be with family. Either she was going to be well taken care of, or she was going to be well taken care of. Victory belongs to me. The two answers to your prayer are yes and yes. Victory belongs to Jesus. I am God, and I am sovereign, and my game plan is bigger than any player on my field. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on me, because I have the ability to make this crooked path straight. I'm the sovereign God, and that's why they say, I am that I am. My ways are higher and my thoughts are higher. So what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. It reminds me of that song, See a Victory. Mm-hmm. I will see a victory. And so when I heard that message, I thought, Lord, that is it. That I prayed that whatever it took prayer, just like they did, but it just didn't come out the way I wanted.
Yes, ma'am.
But God is still good.
Yes,
he is still good, and he is still faithful.
Yeah.
And so scripture says in Romans 8:28-29, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So that doesn't mean everything is good. You and I both know this, but it means that God works everything for good.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people leave out Romans 8:29, which is, and I don't have it quoted, but it's so that we can be conformed to Jesus Christ's image.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to happen? The only way that's going to happen is for God to take us through trials. That's the only way that we're going to see. That's the only way that I'm going to see, truly see my sin, that it was my sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. I will share in Christ's suffering, and I will see this. So until God reveals this to you, I mean, you know, when you get saved, you're like, oh, I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiving. But do you really, really see that it's your sin that put him there? And so Rick and Sherry Burgess, who I just love, and they had a son drowned at the age of 2. I've learned a lot from them. And I'll never forget when Sherry talked about 1 Peter 4:1-2 and what it states. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we choose to sin. We know we'll never be perfect here, but I am perfect in Jesus Christ. But God started showing me more of my own sin in my life. He started changing me.
Yeah.
And so how am I ever going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if he doesn't start removing the sin from my life?
Mm.
And it's only going to come through suffering. So as born again believers, we are saved by grace through faith. We are eternally redeemed, but we choose to sin. We choose to live either the spiritual life or walk the carnal way. We can choose between living for self and all the things of this world, or suffering for the sake of Christ, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Our trials will either turn us to God or turn us away from him. And so I don't want to waste Clark David's death. If I don't learn what I'm supposed to learn from his death, I've wasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the coronavirus, the pandemic. If we're not, I mean, look what all God's taken away.
Yeah.
If we are not learning what we need to learn from this, we've wasted it.
Yeah, I agree.
So our purpose in living is to glorify God, to love God and love people.
Hmm.
How am I going to love God? I mean, excuse me. How am I going to love people if I don't suffer like Jesus? That doesn't mean I'm going to die on the cross like he did, but I'm to lay my life down.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm putting others' needs ahead of myself. I'm considering others as more important than myself. And he's teaching me to love other people, because love is patient, love is kind, love is all those things, mm-hmm. it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. But am I doing that? So God's teaching me this.
Mm-hmm.
I fail miserably, miserably. But his grace covers my sin. And then every day I'm given a new day to do things differently.
Yeah.
That's right. You talked about this a little bit off air and then a little bit at the beginning of your story, but I'm just curious to know, how do you feel that, with Clark David, how do you feel that spiritual warfare played into that whole scenario?
Compromise first.
Yeah.
And not knowing your enemy, not knowing what he's doing.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
About not knowing God's word, not knowing scripture, because it says be self-controlled, be sober, be vigilant.
Yeah.
Your adversary roams around like a roaring lion. So it's like, we have to know this. So he played a huge part in Clark David's mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just Clark David believing lies about himself.
Yeah.
That he wasn't worthy. Oh, you're not a good basketball player because you didn't make the basketball team. Not understanding God's grace and mercy in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just so many ways that the enemy gets in to try to destroy our lives. And it is an ongoing battle every day. So if you don't, like I said, if you don't take up the armor, then you have a target on your back. And especially if you're a Christian, yeah, you have this target on your back. And so if you don't know how to handle those situations, mm-hmm, and the weapon that is necessary, you are, how would I say it? You live in defeat.
Yeah. Yeah. You basically walked into a war that you're not armored for.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
It's hard to win the battle that you don't know you're fighting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you seen, I know that this is a lifelong battle for you and your family. How have you seen the enemy and spiritual warfare still affect you and your family to this day?
Because I know, at least for us, that my conversations, we went on a mission trip with Tucker and to New Orleans, and we would always be the last two guys to get showers. We'd be the last two guys, and there was a huge shower trailer, had like 15 showers in it, and we would just talk. He would be in one shower, and people would walk in and be like, this is a deep conversation, I've got to get out. And so we would just talk and talk and talk, and I know even from him that this was something that didn't stop that day, didn't stop a year after. And Beth, real quick, how many years has it been since Clark David?
It's been five and a half.
Five and a half.
It happened
years.
October 6th, mm-hmm, of 2014.
Yeah.
And he was 19.
Yeah. It's been a long time. And so this doesn't just cease after a little bit of time. This is a wound that does not heal completely ever. And so until glory. And
that's
so,
right.
And so, yeah, like Luke said, how is this continuing to affect?
The enemy still continues to wage war, just like he does on any family.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, I guess what the Lord showed me and how you're going to answer this question is 1 John 2:16, part of it. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, our bodily pleasures, the lust of the eyes — our eyes are never satisfied, they're always wanting something more — and then the pride of life, pride in what you possess, your status, your knowledge, it's about you. I would say that those three categories still affect our home.
Yeah.
It's not wrong to want to eat good food and have nice things and enjoy vacations and enjoy what God has blessed us, mm-hmm, with, but are we seeking God with our whole heart and soul first? Are we, it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and then all these things will be added to you. So what do? We look to all the things first, mm-hmm, and then bring God along with us. We don't do what it says that we should truly seek the Lord. And then the enemy says you have to be strong. Don't cry. Don't be honest about your feelings. Wear a mask. Huh? Isn't that funny? We're literally wearing them now.
Yes, by law. Yeah.
Yeah. Let everyone see how strong you are. But all that is the opposite of scripture. Jesus says it's when you are weak that he makes us strong.
That's right.
I heard recently, there are no strong women in loss, just broken little girls sitting on daddy's lap. We need to be broken so we can be remade. Yeah. Because we are all broken people. And how are we ever going to be remade unless God brings a trial into our life and starts showing us more about himself? But it's in our honesty and vulnerability with the Lord and others that we truly start to heal.
Yeah.
But Satan wants me to be quiet.
Yeah, he does.
He wants to cause division.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more that we share our story and the more that we grow together, then other people see, oh, I'm not alone in how I think and feel. Yeah. Other people have experienced this kind of stuff. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." So, like I said, the more that we share with others, the less alone that we feel. And that's why we're supposed to do life with people, community yeah. with people.
Yeah.
We grow through this. Also, fear is a big tactic of the devil.
Yeah.
And so Tess, my daughter, was 12 when Clark David passed away. She was in sixth grade. And she still deals with fear
yeah.
of all kinds. Fear, when it first happened, "Mom," she would call me.
Yeah.
I would just be in the other room, "Mom." And if she didn't hear me,
yeah.
you know, it was like, oh, my word, something's happened to her. Because you and I both know life is a series of losses.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to use that fear to cripple us.
Yeah.
And but we have to stand on what, you know, God says. But she still deals with the fear of that. And then she's had losses of friends. She's had loss of a dear, dear pet. I could write a little small book about the pet God brought us. And yeah. 2.5 years later, Christmas Eve, he got killed. So mm-hmm. those losses stay ever present
yeah.
with her.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. And then Satan also stole her joy temporarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She is a beautiful girl. Even though she's my daughter, she is very pretty. She has a gorgeous smile, and she doesn't smile as much as she used to. But I know through prayer that she will get her joy back, and God is going to use this in her life. No telling what kind of way God will use this in her life.
Definitely.
And so then the other thing that I would say is that loss of a child puts a unique kind of pressure on a marriage.
Oh, of course.
And Satan hates marriage. He hates family, and he wants to do anything to undermine what represents God and gospel.
Yeah.
I read recently, the key is to get you and your spouse and your children to put love of self ahead of love for God and one another. Unless you take steps to reverse this process, that hairline fracture in the foundation can lead to crumbling.
Yeah.
And so our trials should be the glue that kind of holds us together.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not, that's where the fracture comes in. So Satan is a master at accomplishing this. But Satan will flee if we are savvy to his wiles and have the gumption to resist his mm-hmm. tricks. So we just have to know what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know one of the just talking through this, and I love that you said that life is just a series of losses, because I think that that's something. But I love that you said that life is just a series of losses, because I think in my life, really the last few years, a lot of that has shown itself in a lot of in a lot of unexpected ways.
Yeah.
And I can empathize in some sense with your loss. Just last September, one of my best friends from high school took his life. And one of the toughest battles that I've had to fight nearly daily through that is intellectually. I understand you know, God's sovereignty through this, and he's working all things together for good. But the battle from my mind to my heart,
right,
from my mind to convince my heart that that's actually true, has been just uphill, to say the least. So my question to you is, you and your family, how do you reconcile God's goodness and God's sovereignty in the midst of just heavy loss?
Well, let me just say first that I knew, of course, through your tears, that this hit close to home, but I didn't know how. And so when you just revealed that to me, of course, what is put on my heart is, of course, my son and daughter and their pain. Their pain's never forgotten. But in light of what you just said, Clark David's friends, my heart has been so heavy for them. I have prayed for them. I still do. When I say girlfriend, she was not Clark David's girlfriend, but she was a friend who was a girl.
Yeah.
And she actually has experienced another loss in her life because there was a plane crash in Coleman, and she was the teacher of her student that died in that crash. And so she's a teacher at East Elementary. And I know that God used Clark David's death to prepare her for this. Yeah. I don't really know where she is in her faith. I hope that she has found the Lord. But she did blame herself. And Clark David's friends, I do think there are many that weren't saved. Like I said, I really don't know. But one of his dear friends, who I think now is a Christian, when we met early on, he said, "I'm so confused." Mm-hmm. Clark said, "He was my friend. How could he do this to me?" Because, you know, with that age, 19, your friends are your life, you know? How could he do this? And, you know, all I could say was just the sovereignty of God, which, of course, he didn't understand that. Yeah. He wasn't even Christian. He wasn't even in a church or anything. But I said, one day, I hope, you know, that it will make sense, and then God will start to heal your heart, you know. But I can only imagine what that's like, because I've never had a friend die by suicide.
Yeah.
So I just, and being that young too, but how old are you?
23.
Okay, see, they were 19, so 23 is not that far off from that. It's just a hard thing to wrap our minds around.
Yeah. Yeah, and the sovereignty of God is difficult to understand when you're not in trial.
Yeah. Yes.
Let alone when you're trying to put all that together trying to figure out how that works and how can he use that. And you know, you look around in everything, even in coronavirus, and you go, how in the world are you going to use a virus? How do you use the, how has God's sovereignty worked out with George Floyd? How does this happen? And so, I think that's really important, that we try to figure that out, knowing that we are finite, and to reconcile something infinite, and so grand as the sovereignty of God is something exceptionally difficult. But tell us, you know, you and your family, how do you guys at this moment, how are you guys having to wrestle with that?
I thought about that, and I was reminded by a friend, Julie Fillinger, that had a son die by accidental suicide. She came to the funeral visitation of Clark David, and she wisely put a cross in my hand. And she said, "The cross is all you need." That phrase has been etched on my heart. God has used that to speak to me. Several things that he has revealed through that. And one is, our greatest need is to be loved. You know, we all want to be loved and accepted.
Yeah.
And if we can understand that God has our best interest at heart because he loves us so much, but we struggle with that. But our greatest need was met on the cross when Jesus died for our sins. That shows me how much he loves me. So if I can grasp, or if we can grasp, that we are being rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, as it says in Ephesians 3:17-19, I don't think that we would ever question his complete control of everything, down to the dust molecule.
Yeah.
So if I believe God's sovereign, I've got to believe he is sovereign over everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that he loves me so much that he died for my sins so I wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And so that is one thing. And then I went to scripture and God showed me in Psalm 119, you know, it's the longest Psalm.
Yeah.
There's so much there, but in verse 75, it says, I know, O Lord, and that Lord, L-O-R-D, is in all caps,
mm-hmm.
which means Yahweh, the most, you know this more yeah. than me, Dominic, Yahweh, the Most High God. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. Everything he does is right.
Yeah, that's right.
And that in faithfulness, in his faithfulness to me, that's unswerving loyalty to me, you, God, have afflicted me. So he actually caused and allowed this affliction. And we're like, what? How can that be? But then look at Jesus' death on the cross.
Yeah.
God, if people don't believe that are Christians that God caused and allowed this, well, they might need to go back and revisit scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
I
know?
Agree.
And so then in verse 50 of Psalm 119, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. So your word, your promises have given me life.
Yeah.
And in verse 52, it says that I have comforted myself. So I've preached to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 119, I'll get back to I preach by myself or to myself. Hang on. Psalm 139:16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what I did or didn't do. Clark David was going to die on that day anyway, because God determined he was going to die on that day.
Yeah.
And then in Job 14:5, it says, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. One thing that has so helped me too is Revelation 1:18, and I did not write that down. I want to do it justice right here. Revelation 1:18, I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus holds the keys to life and death.
Yeah.
Nothing that I could have done. So I was, what if this? What if that? God told me, put a big circle around the what ifs, and just right beside it, God's sovereignty. We'll never understand that because we're not God.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are not his. Our ways are not his, as that verse says, wherever that is.
Yeah.
But when I read a book called Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow by Nancy Guthrie, and every chapter in that book was on a particular verse.
Yeah.
And that was the last one, I think the last chapter. And when I read that, that so helped me to know there's nothing that I could have done. There's nothing that anybody could have done to change the trajectory of Clark Davis' life.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that we wrestle through God's sovereignty and think, but how much peace and joy can come from knowing that ultimately you're not in control?
Like that's right.
Most people look at that as a bad thing, but how grateful are we that someone much better, much stronger, much more knowledgeable, infinitely more knowledgeable is in control, and what peace can come from that. And I think you've experienced that, and I've seen that. One of the things I want to ask is, what is the Lord, how has the Lord grown you in your walk with him? I know that you and I have talked, and we've even gone through some times together and walking through this, and even with your family walking through this. I know that just a story of how I've seen the Lord grow you in this is there was a moment when I was the student pastor, and I asked you to hold a Bible study at your house. And I was like, hey, I needed host homes, and I needed people to host Bible studies at their house. And you said, I just don't know if I can, because, you know, that's at my house, and that's where Clark David died. And I don't know, that basement, that area, I can't imagine doing something there. And we had a very honest talk, talking through that the Lord, you can let the enemy quarantine off your basement, and you can allow him to do that, or you can take what the enemy meant for evil, and you can allow that place that is a reminder of sorrow and death and pain, to rather be used as a platform for joy and for the pushing of the name of Jesus, the exalting of Jesus, the exalting of His name, and to make much of life and joy and life abundant out of a place that, if nothing were to change, would just be a hard reminder of death. And so how have you seen, I saw that change in that you took young ladies into your basement and mm-hmm. were able to share Jesus with them and walk through the scriptures with them. The Lord has redeemed your basement. And so that space in your home. And so how has the Lord redeemed you? How's the Lord grown you in your walk with Him?
Amen. That was well said. And like I told you, I forgot all about that. And I was like, that's right. So we never know things that we say and do, how it impacts other people.
Yeah.
And so thank you for bringing that to my mind, because I love that. And I have seen the opposite of how Clark David's friends were with Tucker. He has brought so many boys into our home. Mm-hmm. He played football and on the weekends or Tuesday nights, they would come over. I would cook for them. They would laugh in the basement, you know. So there was, even besides Bible studies, then there was time with friends and laughter. And it would thrill my soul when I would hear laughter from the basement. Yeah. So it's amazing and incredible how God is still redeeming that. Yeah. But how has God used this to grow me is a loaded question.
Yeah.
So much. But I will say, one thing that I have learned is there is purpose in the pain.
Yeah.
Our mess becomes our ministry, and it becomes our message. And I am to share that. And if I don't, then like I said, I've wasted it. But it has changed my prayer life, my communing with God, with my Lord, my intimacy with Him. It could have come no other way. I love Him more every day, and I can truly say now that better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. I could not say that before. I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah,
but I long to be with the Lord,
yeah,
to hear what He has to say to me. And I practice His presence. I am talking to Him throughout the day, which before I didn't do that, you know. And so it has changed my communing with Him. I kind of hate prayer life, because I don't think that people even understand what prayer life is. It's just talking to the Lord.
Yeah.
Just talking to the Lord. So it has changed that. It has taught me that I am to set my mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I'm to long for His appearing.
Yeah.
In 2 Timothy 4:8. But He's taken the love of the world out of me. He's changed my desires to match His.
Yeah.
I want to please the Lord more with my life. And I fail miserably, and we all still sin. We don't want to, but we're like Paul. We're like, why do I do the things that I don't want to do, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
But God's grace is still there, and He helps me through that. He's taught me that tears are His love language, and that He holds each one. He knows what each one means, and that this gift of emotion is given by God.
Yeah.
And what do you hear people do? When they start crying, a lot of times they'll go, oh, I'm sorry. But you never hear anybody say they're sorry for laughing.
Yeah.
Unless they're laughing in church, you know, and they get in trouble or something like that.
Yeah, pastor calls them out, yeah.
Yeah, like you, Dominic, with your students.
Yes.
But I like, I'm sorry. Like, we think we're not supposed to cry, but it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And so what the Lord has shown me through that is that He's washed away the debris that was in my spiritual eyes.
Mm.
And He's shown me through a different set of lenses. I can see more of what God sees. No, I'm not God, but I can see of more how He sees. I look at nature differently. He speaks to me through nature. That doesn't mean audibly, yeah, but He puts verses on my mind. There's a song in the garden, you know, He walks with me and talks with me.
Yeah.
That has just been profound in my life on the road that I walk. And He calls me, like I said, to look at a different set of glasses, through a different set of glasses. And before this, I would have walked right by this couple about a month ago.
Mm.
There was a couple that was, I could tell, probably on drugs, not married. This was her fiancé, and there was a dog. And so I noticed the dog. I was going to the gas station. And the Lord put on my heart to do something.
Yeah.
So I get out to my car, and I had these little things on forgiveness, mm-hmm. and these little things I got at the Christian bookstore anyway. And I got some money. It wasn't much. I had just gotten some cash back at Walmart. This was not a planned thing at all. And I thought, Lord, I would have never done this before. But now I have courage and boldness, and I know the living hope, you know, that they need. And so I asked the girl, long story short, if I could pray with her. And I did. And she started talking about her own daughter. Hmm. And come to find out, that daughter actually is in the choir at Temple where I go to church.
Wow.
Was beyond my imagination. But tears just started streaming down. And I thought, only the Lord knows what she's dealing with, but she doesn't have custody of her children or anything. Hmm. But I knew that was a divine appointment,
yeah.
that God would use. And like you said earlier, there's no telling in heaven one day what that encounter might look like. And then through prayer, I still pray for Elizabeth that she find the Lord in turn, because she had a black eye. I'm sure probably her boyfriend had probably hit her. I asked, but of course she didn't say, you know. So there's things like that where I've reached out to the lost and then ministered to other believers. So God has used that, and it's all, God has shown me that it's all about loving the Lord and people, but also those closest to me, sometimes it's harder to love those that we live with because they see our true self. So I see them at their worst and vice versa, but God gifts me with those people. He puts my husband in my life, Clark David, Tucker, Tess, all the people in my life, in my family, my extended family, to change me. Mm-hmm. The irritations, all that God is using. We want to run from that. We want to escape from that. But God says, no, it's those people that I'm using in your life to change you. So life is not about comfort. Mm-hmm. We all want to be so comfortable, don't we?
Yeah.
But it's not about comfort. It's about conflict and losses. And so if it wouldn't have been for this conflict, I would have not learned and grown. And then there's a scripture, John 12:24. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit, which goes back to what you said earlier, that this God, Satan intended it for evil, but God meant it for good, mm-hmm. and that it will produce much fruit. And so Clark David is like that kernel that died. It's like he's still in the ground, but then I'm like being his torchbearer, so to speak.
Yeah.
And through his death, I am learning and growing and then producing more fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord breaks our lives so he can do greater things.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy, Jesus left.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit came. So people could do a greater work.
Yeah.
And so I look at my life like that it's for the advancement of the kingdom. And it's not about me. It's the light of Jesus in me.
Yeah.
And which reminds me of Gideon's story and the battle. And you know how they had those vessels and then the vessels were broken and there was that, the torch, you know, the flame inside. Mm-hmm. And so the darker it gets in our world, the ever increasing darkness, we are like that vessel and we are going to shine brighter in the darkness.
Yeah.
And because the darkness is not overcome by the enemy.
Yeah.
And so God has broken my life just like he did in that battle. Go read it sometime. I know, Dominic, mm-hmm. you could probably say it a whole lot better than me, but people that are listening, go read it because it is so good and powerful. And God used that story to show me that it's Jesus' light that shines brighter in this world.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
Do you think in the midst of all this, I don't know if there's necessarily one, but do you think what are either one scripture or a handful of scriptures that have been kind of your go-to sustainers just over these last 5.5 years?
Because, Beth, I tell you this, I've seen in you and just looking back on just where you've been, even, you know, 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, whenever we first met, just what you've seen, what you've done, and how you've grown, and how your ministries even minister to like my mother-in-law, who you're good friends with, and so just how you've worked, how the Lord has worked through you. I've seen that, and I think it's evident. We're trying to figure out one scripture that's been helpful for you. I'm pretty sure everything you have is just bathed and covered in scripture in a way that you can tell that the scriptures as a whole have ministered to you. And so just know that this right here is beneficial for those who also are trying to grasp for things. You've shown us well that scripture is one of those things that it is the thing that sustains you. And so yeah, tell us, what are the scriptures or the scripture that you've gone to?
One that I memorized years ago that I didn't even know that I would need, God brought to mind, Isaiah 41:10-13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And 41:13 says, for I, the Lord, it's Lord in all caps again, mm-hmm. your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. So God would bring that to my mind later. And the part about the right hand just, you know, that's about God's sovereignty and his strength. And so I know that he never lets go. We're the one that moves. Mm. But God has shown me that if I stay close to him and hold on to him, he is there and he's going to help me. So that is a big one. And early on, it was the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34:18. And then Psalm 34:17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So he might not deliver me out of all my troubles here, but the promise is he's going to one day, because I know that I'm going to see the Lord and I'm going to live with him forever. And then Psalm 18 has been huge. And that is a whole story in itself that I won't go into when it talks about the weather. Because there was a storm the day after Clark David died, and then that really, really spoke to me about the evil and how God uses the lightning to come down and all. I didn't write that down, and there's no need to go there. But in Psalm 18:6, it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. So when we truly seek the Lord, he's going to hear our cries. And then one that I just love, and it was on Clark David's pamphlet, or whatever you call that, for his funeral, Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And then I was like David, Psalm 55:6-8. When I read this, I thought, oh, so even David was this way. It says, oh, that I had wings like a dove and would fly away to be at rest. And I thought, that's all I wanted to do was to escape the pain I was in. I wanted the Lord to take my life. I didn't want to live here anymore. But every day I wake up, the Lord gives me a new day, and he shows me that I have a second opportunity to do things his way and live for his glory. And as long as I'm here, I'm to be a light and a vessel, a conduit for him. And so that was helpful, because at the end of Psalm 55, it's at the very end, it says, but, because he had said, oh, that you would take me away, but I will trust in you. So I trust in the Lord. And the last one, I found this and I thought, oh, this is like the theme of my life right now. Psalm 33:20-22. Our soul, and I'll just say mine right now because this is my story. My soul waits for the Lord. He is my help and my shield. For my heart is glad in him because I trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon me. even as I hope in you. And so my hope is in the Lord. It's not, I hope that this happens. I hope that that happens. I hope that whatever it is, fill in the blank. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 80, I know I said that would be all, but I thought of one more.
That's
okay. Psalm 84:11. Because in the Psalm that I just read, it talked about that he is a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I said we need to put on the whole armor of God because we have to shield ourselves from the fiery darts and all that. Well, when I came across this verse, I thought, Lord, this gives me so much comfort. For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
Yeah.
The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Mm. So if he withholds no good thing, he's not going to withhold any good thing.
Yeah.
So evidently what happened with Clark David's life was good, not suicide that was good, but it was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was good for my family, for Clark David's friends, whoever this touches, it was good for this to happen, for that affliction. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was the soil that good grew.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. I love Psalm 84 is probably one of, if not my favorite psalm. And you talking about that, I love that quote you said earlier about, I can't remember it word for word. You said something about no woman is strong in loss. They're just...
Yes, I'll find it.
If you have that, I can't,
I can't
exactly remember what you said.
And I just heard this on grief just recently. It was a Nancy Guthrie. It was one of her podcasts. And she was talking with some friends, and I didn't write that down. I thought, I've got to go back and find that. There are no strong women in loss. And you could put men in the place of that. Just broken little girls or broken little boys sitting on daddy's lap.
I love that. That in the midst of grief and loss, it is, man, how much do we need to find our strength in the Lord?
That's right.
And I think of Psalm 84, like you mentioned, I think it says, blessed are those whose strength is in the Lord. For they will go, if the, those who trust in the Lord go from strength to strength. And I just love that so much, thinking that, and I don't have to be strong. We don't
have
to be strong. Our strength is found in our King, in the God that we follow.
That's right.
And I just love that you, in the last moment, brought up, fourth quarter, brought up Psalm 84.
Yeah.
That was just encouragement to my soul, hopefully to our listeners too.
Yeah. And Beth, we want to thank you for being transparent and being open and honest with us. We greatly appreciate it, and we are grateful that you would share your story with us and with our listeners. And so we're grateful, and you did a great job. And so,
well, thank you. You're welcome, and it is an honor. I am just amazed that you called me, and I think, Lord, this is an opportunity for you to get glory and for your name to be made famous, not mine.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. That's good. Luke, do you have anything else to add for us?
Yeah, I just think of, gosh, how many of our listeners right now are probably going through some sort of struggle and lamenting a lot of different things, or maybe something very similar. So I would just love to read this and then let you close us out. This is Lamentations 3, the height of Israel's lament. Jeremiah pens this. After Jerusalem, the temple, their hope had been destroyed. He says this, he has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him.
That's good. Thank you, Luke. I know that will help. That will help my daughter.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and we know that this is hard, and we know that this is heavy. But we also want you to hear joy. We want you to hear rejoicing. We want you to hear that God is good, no matter what you're going through. If you're a listener of this right now, we want to encourage you. God is good. He is worthy of your submission. And do not even if you're in a trial, you're in a storm right now. The Lord is working in that. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to see the full scope of it, but just trust the Lord. And like Beth has, and we want to encourage you, follow after Jesus. He is hope, and he's the only hope that will ever sustain you and that will never fail you. And so put your hope in the Lord. We love you guys. We're thankful for you. We hope that you are encouraged by this podcast. Share this with somebody. If you are someone who is struggling, let there be a time where you share that with somebody. Don't keep that to yourself. We want to encourage you to have community, spend time with people, and fall in love with the Word of God. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on the Here's the Deal podcast.